The Holy Gospel for This Christ the King Sunday is a reading from St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. It's entitled, The Judgment of the Nations. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, says Jesus, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. And then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they also will answer, Lord, well, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. By the power of God's active presence within us, may we touch the lives of others for good through words, prayers, and actions. Amen. There's a story told by Leo Tolstoy called Martin the Cobbler. It tells of a lonely shoemaker who is promised a visit by the Lord that very day. Eagerly all day, this cobbler awaits his arrival. But all that comes is, well, first, a man in need of shoes. Then a young mother comes in need of food and shelter. And then a child arrives who is without a friend. Martin the cobbler ends the day thinking, well, maybe tomorrow he will come, only to hear a voice replying to him, Martin, I did come to you today, not once, but three times. Now, there's another Martin story, not Martin Luther. For once, we're not referring to Martin Luther. The other Martin was Martin of Tours. He was a Roman soldier. One cold winter day, he was entering a city, and a beggar stopped him asking for alms. Martin had no money. The beggar was blue, shivering with cold, and Martin gave what he had. He took off his soldier's coat, which was worn and frayed. He cut it in two and gave half of it to him. And then that night he had a dream, and in it he saw the heavenly places and all the angels with Jesus in the midst of them, and Jesus was wearing half of a Roman soldier's cloak. One of the angels said, Master, why are you wearing that battered old cloak? Who gave it to you? And Jesus answered softly, My servant Martin gave it to me. When we learn and experience the generosity of sharing in the simplest things, we can know the joy of helping Jesus himself. These stories illustrate that all the least of these are Christ's brothers and sisters, and therefore ours as well. This is one of the most vivid parables of Jesus, and the lesson is crystal clear. It is that God judges us according to our response to human need. It does not depend on our knowledge, our fame, or our fortune, but simply on the help that we have given. Jesus tells of a king who chooses the disguises of poverty, nakedness, and imprisonment to test the loyalty of those who promised to serve him. So it's not complicated. There are certain things that the parable teaches about such help, simple things really. Providing a hungry person a meal, giving water to someone thirsty, welcoming a stranger, cheering and comforting someone who is sick, visiting one who is bound, whether in prison or bound in other ways. It's not about giving away lots of money or making sure that we get credit for helping. It is just giving. Simple help to those who need it. And as we go about that, Jesus says that help is given to himself. In other words, we see Jesus' presence in the one who is being helped. Last Monday, I went to my first board meeting of the night ministry in San Francisco. Because you all know Pastor Lyle, who's been there here on a number of occasions, and I told him not too long ago that I'd be interested in serving on his board. He says, okay, come on. So last Monday was the first one. Well, Hope has financially supported this ministry, and certainly we can do more. Do you know, for example, that annually this ministry helps, this is a 2016 statistic, 28,000 people. Pastor Lyle and his staff helping in innumerable ways. You could fill a book with all of the different responses that have happened. Here was a man struggling with suicide thoughts, and he said, if you hadn't talked with me two nights ago, I wouldn't be here. You helped save my life. Another person said, I don't know how I could have managed without the night ministry. Whenever I get distressed, I know I can always call. Night ministry is always there. You help me get by. Well, the night ministry meets people where they are, often broken, even shattered by all sorts of circumstances and life situations. And out of that brokenness can come new hope, new life, and new possibilities. We are called into service, and as we say yes, God empowers us to serve folks who are in need. And we find that we serve none other than Christ. Our lives are meant to embody the presence of Jesus. A large barrier in accepting this particular vocation that we have is not a lack of faith, it's a lack of imagination. This parable can inspire our imaginations to take hold of our vocation, which is to embody Christ as a servant in our daily routines and to engage the world as Christ's redeemed creation. Well, you know, the idea of service and caring for those most in need is consistent with the figure of Christ the King. The lessons today redefine, and with the help of the kids today, help to redefine what a king is. As a shepherd-like king who seeks the lost and cares for the injured. Christ is the kind of king who cares for his subjects, who is ready to sacrifice himself for their sakes, like the shepherd of a flock. It's a different sense of being a king not like earthly kings, people that are set themselves up to have a 10-year plan or whatever. It's a different sense than political office holders or others in positions of power. So on this day, each year, we hold up Christ the King as a model for those who do rule and have positions of leadership and a role model for each of us. In Ezekiel, we find an excellent model of ministry and mission as he describes God as shepherd. I will search for the lost, recover the straggler, bandage the hurt, strengthen the sick, help the healthy and strong to play and give them proper food. It is the shepherd who will bring back Israel out of exile and rekindle its hope. The writing must have been an incredible message of hyperbole to those people. Out of their desolation comes this ray of hope, something positive out of a negative situation. God is to come to them as shepherd and as king, always as servant, caring, serving, liberating. As I suggest, the notion of kingship becomes changed, doesn't it? For we may picture a purple costume figure with a crown seated on a glorious throne, living in a castle or a mansion with servants all around. And the kids got it, right? They definitely did. That's not the picture of Jesus as the king. In Matthew, again, the image of the shepherd as the king at the last judgment with all nations before him. And surprise of surprises, we learn that the king has become the lowly, the least favored, the needy, the most oppressed. And we care and pay attention to him as we attend to them. The king who acts as a shepherd calls us and expects us to follow in those footsteps. Now, the parable of Matthew here can provide an immense guilt trip for us if we allow it, or it can serve as a declarative mandate as faith's positive response. It directs our vision to the world's impoverished. It is not optional, as if we might get around to it sometime. It is the very heart of what we are about. The work of the church is to act as under-shepherds, if you will, in caring for the least of these. From the first instruction in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 to this last judgment scene at the end of the book, the criterion for life in the kingdom remains the same: forsaking greatness for smallness, forsaking societal norms for serving, forsaking religiosity to the vulnerability of compassion. These lessons reemphasize the themes of the season: mission, responsibility, caring, acts of love. The parable's target audience is those who do know Jesus but don't recognize his identity with the poor and the oppressed. Why is he doing what he's doing? Why is he going to these people who are of no account? They knew him, but their unloving ways resulted in a watering down of faith to a mere ritual observance. They did not get it. They had separated Jesus from daily life. Christ is king, but unlike a fabled king, he walks in beggar's disguise. This is the New Testament fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah. Surely he has borne our griefs, in all our afflictions he was afflicted. How does this relate to our mission of what we are about as a congregation or as a network of congregations in the ELCA or as individuals? Now, I know that so many of you are doing an immense job in caring for people. I want to refer to Dave Phillips' article in The Voice that you have gotten or maybe you will get, in which Dave talks about his role together with Mary in helping St. Jude Hospital and sickle cell disease. It's an incredible article, and in it, Dave says that, you know, in the midst of the storms that we've had and the crises, he says, with wind, fire, water, and earthquakes presenting increased disasters throughout the world, I think of many individuals here at Hope, as he writes, who have stepped up to these needs, which is exciting to see. And he says, taking advantage of these opportunities is clearly outlined in the scripture text in Matthew that I've read today. So you are to be congratulated for all the responses that you make with the programs here at Hope and as you go into the community. Our invitation is always to respond generously as God's people, to act as trustees, managers of the gifts that God has given to us, serving and caring in the manner of the Shepherd King. So we discover and we rediscover out of our gratitude as we leap to act out our thanks for the sake of Christ who brings us fullness of life. Amen. Now we're going to sing the